Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson cast. The holidays are coming up. Everybody, lock up your Christmas cookies. It's Vinny Paulino. Look at that guy.
There I'll still is. Get him.
He's got a very shiny nose. It's called alcoholism. There goes Brian Ball, everybody. That's just me. I'm a great guy. Probably getting lots of Christmas presents. Everybody likes me. No problems there. Everything's fine. And please, nobody tell him that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. It's Cam Tiller with our guest today, Mr. Rob Little.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a tepid applause and a great show. Good job, Brian.
Tepid applause is what we always like.
My name is Vinny Paulino. I'm your host. It's another episode of the Carlson Cast. We are very excited to have our guest in the studio today, Mr. Rob Little. And little side note for me. I'm excited to talk to him. Yeah. I'm excited to talk to him because he's one of the first, when I first started doing comedy and decided I wanted to go for it, he's one of the first headliners I actually sat down and watched.
Yeah.
I've seen him perform one time in my life, and it is so memorable to me because of his stage presence, his energy, his delivery, and his jokes are on point. This guy is a comic through and through.
And he's, as you said, very energetic.
Very energetic. Energy is something that he has. I'm jealous
it's
of his
like
energy.
Like a Red Bull with a microphone.
Yeah. And honestly, folks, there's not a lot like him. He's really a unique talent. So yeah. It's going to be cool to have him in studio. I got a lot of questions for him. He's a Second City guy, so we can talk about that. But he'll be in just a little bit. Brian Ball, my co-host, is here as usual.
Yeah, as usual.
Got anything good going on?
I mean, it's a holiday.
Okay. Well, forget time. About that. I would like to personally thank you for my gift.
Oh, you're welcome.
I got a fun gift from Brian today. I do not collect pops, but yet he decided to get me this Ash Pop from Evil Dead. So thank you, Brian.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good for the studio. I got it more for the studio than for you. It's more a gift for the room than it is for you.
Well, I appreciate you peeling the clearance sticker off of it. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, you're a good dude.
Really hold the room together.
In fairness, I didn't know it was clearance until I bought it.
People are going to walk in here, and they're going to go, it was clearance?
It was. I didn't know.
I was joking! You cheap bastard!
I did not know until checkout, and I was like, oh, that was cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
Likely awesome. Story. Likely story. Like, I can't even... Ross is in the room. Show the couch. Show the couch cam. Ross, what are you...
Then you get another one? I mean, you do something.
I didn't know until checkout.
You could buy someone a good gift on clearance.
Because the thing is, full price, those aren't a lot. Full price, those are like $10.
I was in a mall. I was in a mall 6 days before Christmas. I was not going back.
I was in a Goodwill.
That was your fault.
I was at the back of a Goodwill 6 days before Christmas.
He's like, there's no liquor stores in a mall, Ross. I had to get out of there quick.
Exactly, yeah. Prioritize.
Okay, so it's rude to ask people how much they spent on a gift, and I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to assume that it was like $6.
No, it was more than that.
Whoa.
You sweetheart.
It was more than six, and retail was 12. So it was somewhere between $6 and $12.
Get yourself something real nice, Clark. You... Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Did that
Happy
come with a gift
years.
Receipt or no? Because you could exchange that for...
You know what I'm going to do? I don't need a gift receipt. What store did you get it at?
That weird store, the seasonal store in the mall where they sell all the calendars.
Cool.
The
I'm going to walk up and throw it at whoever's working there. I'm just going to throw it at there and say, get better shit in your kiosk, whatever.
That's cool. You have an Ash.
Wait on. This is figure. A kiosk, right? Kiosk gift? Kiosk thing?
No, it wasn't a kiosk. It's a regular, it's like a storefront, but it's only open.
Okay. It's a store that's only a store for like 2 weeks.
It's like Brigadoon. It only appears.
Like Brigadoon?
Oh, this is great. So let's talk about comedy again. I'm done. I'm done with you.
I thought it was very thoughtful because you have an Ash action figure. So
keyword,
I
you thought.
I do like Ash. I hate Pops, though, so whatever. Yeah. I appreciate it. Pops, so Pops do nothing for me other than take up space. Do you collect Pops, audience people? If you like Pops and you think I'm wrong, could you please like maybe send us a note, email, and tell me what you like about them? Because I guess like I collect a lot of dumb shit. I just don't understand.
I have a few.
Like it's like the Cabbage Patch doll of action figures. I don't know what they're supposed to be.
They're just cute and cheesy.
You know what it is? You know what I like about them?
Sums up my act.
They have weird ones that they don't make. So I have all the Golden Girls Pops. Yeah. Like, there are no... You can't get action figures, you know? So they... Yeah. I like them because they make weird ones.
Do you have them next to the custom Barbies you did?
I saw a Kurt Cobain one.
That's an alarmingly true story.
I want the Kurt Cobain one.
Well, There's always next Christmas. Maybe you'll find it on clearance.
Yeah.
Back to comedy. Back to comedy. We got a big thing coming up here. We just announced the date last week, but I got to promo it again. Can you do me a favor and hit that new comic night for me, Cam? We're going to talk about that. It's coming up. New comic night 2 in the Rickles Room will be Friday, January 18th. This is a big deal. The show is 9 o'clock, but if you want to perform, the sign-up is 8 p.m. And at 8:30 p.m., we are going to be doing a drawing for 20 spots. I'm sorry we can't let everybody, you know, do it this time, but we try to make it fair for everybody by doing it drawing style. So make sure you're there at 8, put your name in the hat, and we'll draw, and 20 people are going to get to be funny in front of a packed room.
New comic night to the comicking.
Oh, I wish I'd thought of the comicking before I made it.
And
you saying that was better than your Christmas gift.
The only way to make sure you get on the list is to bribe him with a clearance pop figure. That's the only way to bribe Vinny to get on, because he loves him so much.
Where's my Nerf gun?
Don't shoot me.
You know what I almost bought you?
It's Christmas time. You don't shoot people at Christmas time.
You don't do it. I do, though.
I shoot people at Christmas all the time.
You can't even work it. Jesus.
Got him.
Yeah, on the fourth try. Missed.
Out of ammo.
You got me.
I can still throw the cartridge, though. All right. So new comic night's coming up. And then we got a kind of a cool thing, but a sad thing, and I have to make note of it because it's kind of important. We were almost like sold out on the show. Preacher Lawson.
Yeah.
We had Preacher on the show. That guy, talk about trajectory.
Yeah.
Talk about a trajectory of a career. That guy is theaters now. We have him coming to comedy at the Carlson. He's coming back for his second time. We were almost sold out. He's also doing a family-friendly show. So for those of you who love comedy and don't know how to introduce your kids to it, this might be your spot. Preacher's amazing.
He's a machine.
He's really funny. So he was supposed to be here in a few weeks, but AGT's doing like a Clash of Champions or something, like an All-Stars, America's Got Talent All-Stars, and they booked him for it. So he moved his date to April. So if you have tickets for Preacher Lawson, they're still good. The date of the show has moved. So make sure you check out carlsoncomedy.com for more information on that. Are we good there?
Yep.
I think we're good there. I think that was self-explanatory.
Some things are just beyond our control.
Yeah. You know, like, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to see Preacher in a small venue, in a smaller venue, much longer. So yeah.
We'll never see him again.
That's what I thought the first time we had him.
Yeah. I
mean, did you see he was on the Forbes list of highest-grossing comedians this year?
He wasn't. He tweeted that himself, and he made a Photoshop of it as a joke.
Yeah. I read everything I read. I believe everything I read on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just don't worry. It'll fade. It'll go away. That rash that you have. Don't worry about it.
Sapori Cafe Catering. Hit my computer screen. Let's talk about our sponsors and get ready for Rob Little. Sapori Cafe and Catering. We're going for lunch today inside the Powers Building atrium, or they'll cater your special event.
And what is the rumor about Sapori? Something that's coming up at Sapori. We don't know when yet, but what's a magical thing
well,
that's going
to
happen?
I sarcastically said to Brian, he goes, they never named a sandwich after me. I said, what are they going to do, make a boring burger? And knowing Chef Joe.
And they are.
They are. They get a Brian Ball boring burger. So if you like your food not exciting, I highly recommend.
I'm sure he's going to make it exciting. It's just going to be called that, but I'm sure.
I'm sure it'll be delicious.
You want your food to look like Brian?
But not much to look at. It's just like the real person.
Just like me. Delicious on the inside.
I wish they would just make a burger out of you and I never had to see you again. Sapori Cafe Catering at Sapori Rochester. At Sapori Rochester, Facebook, Instagram. And like I said, folks, some of the best catering. They've been doing holiday parties, weddings, anything you need, check out Sapori. Three Heads Brewing. Where to start with all the stuff they've got out right now?
Yeah.
Not only do they have great shows at the brewery, they have the gingerbread beer, which is awesome. Sprucifer, which is a new IPA that's amazing.
I have not tried that yet.
They got a lot of cool stuff going on right now.
Grolsch is outstanding.
So visit threeheadsbrewing.com for more information. And if you're coming to see Rob Little tonight, I would stop at the bar and ask Cutter to put one of these in a glass for you. You might enjoy it. Now, for those of you who prefer the hard stuff,
like Vinny's mom.
There's the gingerbread. Oh, you got one in, did you? The nice thing about my mom is she'll remember. Handcrafted in upstate New York, Applewood smoked whiskey, available in two varieties. Applewood smoked whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's apple pie whiskey. That was a really mean joke I just made. Ironsmokewhiskey.com.
That was a bit much.
Yeah, it was really, pretty much over the line. Sorry, Bri.
That was a bit of...
I'll even add it myself. Normally, if he was a stranger, I wouldn't apologize. But since he's my friend, I'm sorry. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Right now, their new distillery is open. Their new tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport is open. And they have a lot of really cool holiday gifts. Like whiskey-infused cigars, chocolates, all sorts of really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to stop in there, you'll probably find yourself a great gift. Get ready for the holiday this week. All right. We are going to be back with Rob Little after this promo about our upcoming shows. If you haven't been to one yet, get on it. Next week, we got April Macy, December 28th and 29th. We got Austin LaFond in the Rickles room December 28th as well. Don't forget New Year's Eve, Ross Bennett, December 31st, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. with me, Jeff Richards, January 3rd through the 5th. Chris Frangiola, January 10th through the 12th. Felipe Esparza, January 17th through the 19th. Vicky Barbalak, January 24th through the 26th. Moses Storm, January 31st through February 3rd. Jesse May Peluso, one of our favorites, February 7th through the 9th. Todd Young will be in the Rickles room those nights as well, February 8th and 9th. Orny Adams, February 15th and the 16th. Bob Saget, February 21st and the 23rd. Joselito de Puppet, February 27th, 7:30 p.m. One night only. And Preacher Lawson had to reschedule, but he's still going to be here April 4th through the 6th. And then we got Samuel J. Comro, April 18th through the 20th. See, I wasn't lying to you. Big shows. Get your tickets, 585-4-COMEDY, or visit carlsoncomedy.com. See you at a show. Welcome back, everybody. Joining us in studio, our headliner, our guest, the incomparable ball of energy, it's Rob Little. Give it up for our guys.
Hey, what up, everybody?
Good morning to you, sir.
Good to be here.
How long has it been since you've been to Rochester?
About, when did I break up with her? I was dating a girl here and we broke up. So that was the last time I was here.
Is she the one who was keying our cars earlier?
She.
Or did it end well?
If it did, I'd love to turn her in with you.
Okay.
If you want to find her. No, it didn't end well. It did not end well. Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't announce that you're here.
I don't care.
I'm just kidding.
No. She's like married and got a baby now, okay,
so
I don't.
We don't need to increase security or anything.
No. Although that happened to me once before.
What?
I had my own stalker in Iowa, of all places.
See, the one thing I know about Iowa,
they got nothing else to do.
If you have a stalker from there, she's humorless and has a lot of time on her hands.
Yeah, and grows corn and smells like sugar beets. Yes, it's gross.
Sugar beets,
dude. She was driving 8 hours to come see me, and like at the end of shows, she'd be like, it's good to see you again. I really want to have your babies, and like was being very like sincere and honest, and I was just like, okay. And then finally, after like the 6th, 7th time in like the 2 weeks I was doing a tour through there, I finally told the club, I said, if this girl shows up, you get her, you don't let her come in. She's starting to scare me. And then they ended up arresting her. And then like a couple weeks, maybe a month later, her mom wrote me and said the same thing.
Your children are going to be born in jail.
Babies. No.
The mother wrote?
No.
You had a whole family begging for
the mom was all into me. No, the mom. It's too early to catch my style, I guess, you guys.
Okay, I'm in it now.
The mom was... she was just devastated, and she was like, I just want you to know she was off her meds, so that's why she was like following you everywhere. And I'm like, we didn't really need to say that. We could just said I had a stalker, and I enjoy saying that, you know, not she's off her meds, that's the only reason why she even would like you, basically.
I would rather say a stalker than a fan off her meds,
right?
Probably, yeah,
exactly, no doubt. But that's what it was, she was off her meds. But she did come to several shows before that, but not driving 8 hours. So,
yeah,
and I never dropped the D on her, nothing. So I don't know why. That's when I usually hook them. You know,
right.
Yeah, right. It's not because I'm, Mr. GQ. It's just I'm graded on a curve, so sure, that's sure. hooking them, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people. I mean, you should be flattered.
About grading on curve?
No, but, you know, someone was like actively wanting to
I did.
Child.
I was
meds
actually
not.
It was she was super sweet and I really did like it. But when she kept starting to really bug me about the kids, I was like, ugh, so I'm going to have to sneak a condom on to hook up with my stalker.
How do you even do that? Hey, look.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Just kind of have it on your finger and then just slide it back down. I don't know. When she's not looking.
You've thought about this.
Did you practice?
I've never practiced before.
Can someone see if we have any condoms laying around? We'll make this show interesting. It is on the internet.
Oh, I got one in my pocket right now. I always bring one just in case.
You should do it as a magic trick on that Penn and Teller show.
Really? Yeah.
Pat and Teller fool us.
We think we know what you did, but we're not going to. No, you won.
Rob Little's new show. Rob Little, fool her. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
fool. Oh, yeah. So I'm just getting all these girls' creepy ways.
Yeah.
It's
no, just doing
call
the
show Creeping It Real. And
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you need a fat
sidekick? I got a lot of ideas, man.
I'm in on that show.
All right.
So, Rob, I was talking you up earlier before you got here. Because when I first, I've been doing comedy a while.
Okay.
But when I first decided I really wanted to give it a shot, when I really wanted to get into it, you were one of the first shows I sat down and watched.
Okay.
And I literally left shook going, how can anybody have so much energy and have so much like passion behind every word? Your delivery is incredible.
Thank you.
Your stage show is incredible. And I walked away going, comedy is not easy.
No. You know, even if you've done the joke before, that doesn't mean that crowd's heard that joke before. So,
100%.
So why not act like it's the first time you're doing it? And then it's like fun for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So, I try to make it like that. Because it's so obvious when you see a guy that's done a joke 100 times. And I don't want him to know it's obvious.
There's a little bit of a robotishness
to it. Yeah, it's very robot. Like, you can even see in his head. He's like, okay. And I do some inflection here. And then, you're like, yeah.
My favorite thing is when somebody forgets a line in a joke that they've done 100 times. And you already know they've done it 100 times. And they messed it up. And you watch them try to still do the joke exactly the same way. And
they're doing
back.
It by accident. I like to do those. Like happy accidents,
mm-hmm.
like I know I'm gonna mess it up, but then like kind of force myself to, because I started out in improv, so I did Second City and all that stuff first, and then so I love it. I try to do that to myself sometimes, mess up something, but it always sometimes it messes up so good that you're like, that's in the act now.
You get a lot of lines that way.
Yeah, you pretend you messed up,
messing up and trying to fly.
And it endears you to the audience because they're like, oh, he's not perfect. He's messing up too. But look where he went with that. That was awesome.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot to learn from improv. When it comes to, I feel like people can transfer to improv. Brian and I, we talked about this on the show a couple times, where people could kind of transfer from improv into stand-up a little bit easier than you can from stand-up to improv.
100% right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stand-up, it's all about me.
Yeah.
And I'm never going
to
let that
And what go. You just said was really telling of an improv background, where you said, you know, I like to make it sound like every joke is the first time you ever heard it, because that's someone who knows the importance of the spontaneity of something and understands it.
It's so true.
You, sir, are a pro.
Well, you see some of these guys and you're like, oh, I could just tell he's done this so many times. And it, to me, that loses the fun of the joke. Even if it's a really funny joke, you're like, he doesn't care about it anymore.
Yeah.
He's not a performer. He's just telling jokes.
Did you start off just doing improv?
Yeah, well, I started off being a computer science dork. That was my day job.
I guessed by the glasses.
I read about this, and then you got fired because of an email.
You know, it says that.
What legend says.
It does say that.
The internet told me this was true.
It's wrong.
Don't ruin it for me.
That's not the truth.
Blasphemer!
The real truth is I had sent out a company-wide email in IBM to everywhere across the IBM world, basically. So South Africa, Europe, Asia. And I said,
pretty much the world.
Because I was a computer guy, so I hacked into the email
system. I was going to say, who gave you access to that?
Oh, I hacked into it. I knew the girl, and I was like, I could figure it out. So I got all these emails, and I said, I knew I was quitting. So I was like, company. I said, this email is to let you guys know I'm going to be letting go, or I'm quitting because I'm going to do stand-up comedy, and I think you should follow your dreams, and bye. And I send it off. Here's my website. And then that day, they must have lost so much money because everybody probably went and looked at my web. I got so many hits that day on the website.
Yeah.
And
well, that's a better story than what the internet says, because the internet says you sent it out and you got fired.
Well, and they wouldn't fire me because they said that they put so much time into me that they were going to let me take a leave of absence.
Oh.
And then right after that, I got named comedian of best up-and-coming comedian by the Detroit Free Press. And I sent that into my IBM boss, and he goes, "Oh, you're not coming back, are you?" And I says, "I wasn't coming back if they named me worst up and coming comedian." So sorry, yeah,
they don't
I'm
have
moving
a list
on.
For that. It's kind of weird they don't have a list for that,
right?
Yeah, no, that's a better story than what the internet.
Oh, I need to get that fixed.
Yeah,
I mean, you're allowed to on Wikipedia.
Yeah, is that where you read it?
I don't remember where it was. Yeah, probably.
It's probably in my bio.
I read lots of stuff the last couple of days about you.
Nice. You got to do some research.
I actually do research, yeah.
We both
That's so rare.
We care very much about putting on a good presentation.
I hope you post something very random that I would just be shocked.
I read a lot about your Puerto Rican heritage and other things that were on the internet about you. I assume it's all accurate.
Fill the crowd in, Brian.
Very.
Tell everybody about it.
We love parades. So, yes. and I'm quick to stab. Yeah. So, yes.
Got a flag on your car.
Oh, my. Come on. Of course. Well, it's over our roof, too, because we had a hurricane issue. And so, that might be a little dark,
too.
Oh,
we're going to get letters. We love our Puerto Rican
letters. It's probably going to be Puerto Rican letters. They're not typing. There's nothing to type on. Horrible. Horrible, Robbie.
So,
all right.
You didn't answer the question.
I didn't hear the question.
Well, I asked you, did you start doing improv or stand-up? What did you do first?
Started improv.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I was in the same group with Key from Key and Peele, Michael Keegan, and Larry Campbell, who was also the guy, he was the sidekick on According to Jim. He's the blonde guy, chubby guy that was like, he was like very Chris Farley-esque.
Uh-huh.
So, all three of us, and then there's a couple other dudes that are in like tons of commercials and, so they're all doing great, and I'm here.
I understand.
So
you're doing good.
I'm doing good.
You're building a house on a lake.
I'm doing a lot better than it probably looks, I'd say. Yeah, I mean, I support my mom. I just brought my nephew a brand new car. I brought my mom a brand new car. And I got my own charity. I heard you guys talking about charities.
You have your own charity?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Rob Little's Foundation. We help out underprivileged families during Christmas time. You have to have kids because I don't have any.
Uh-huh.
So then we raise money and people donate toys and whatever the families need, because I usually kind of get what the families need.
Uh-huh.
And then on Christmas, I go to all their houses and deliver myself.
Really?
So one year we bought a car. This lady lost her job because her car broke down. And I called the company up and I said, if we got her a car, would you give her a job back? And they said, yeah. So we got her a car.
And her job back?
And her job back. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. Wow. Well, and that was the only car. We bought a few now since we've done that one. But every year it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it's getting to the point where I can't do it. I can't keep doing it. It's too much. I need a team, and I don't have it.
You're the real Santa needed the elves, you know?
It's yeah.
So when you start a foundation like that, when you do it, I mean, obviously it starts from a good place in your heart. When it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it becomes a little less sustainable when you're the one doing all the work. I get
so
that.
So true.
But how many houses would you say you're supposed to go to next week?
Seven.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's never been over 10, so.
Okay.
But I mean, just that alone, like,
that's a lot
of gifts.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, especially if they got kids. So what for the families, for the actual parents, we pay all their bills for 3 months. That's the thing we've been doing.
Where do I apply for this?
So if they got, so not like, there are Netflix. No, we're paying your heating, your electrical, like anything that's the main stuff you need.
Mm-hmm. You're paying the mortgage?
We pay their mortgages or their rent.
Mortgages or the rent.
For 3 months. I don't even know if we've had somebody with a mortgage. They've all been renters.
Interesting.
And so I call up their place, wherever they're living, and I say, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'd like to pay their rent for 3 months.
So here's what I'd like you folks to do watching this. I'd like you to come see Rob Little tonight at Comedy at the Carlson.
Yeah.
You got your choice of two shows, right?
Yep.
7:30 and 10 o'clock. come see Rob. If you have a toy or something that you want that you think he could fit in his carry home bag, if you have a car you think will fit in his take home bag, you'll give it to somebody. Or if you just want to donate, where can people donate?
Well, I'd rather just, hey, help out one of your guys' local things. I mean, this is for people in where I grew up.
Sure.
Because the economy's killing it.
But listen, there's nothing wrong. If somebody's watching, you watch us all over the country.
If somebody would like to help, that'd be great. They can email me and I can tell them where to send them. Because awesome. There's no way I can carry it home with me.
What's your email?
rob@roblittle.com.
Okay. Yep. And phone number? Social Security? Manager's contact info?
And you pick the numbers?
Managers of any venues you are?
Just email me is the best route.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Or stalk me, drive 9 hours to my next gig, and I'm cool with that.
You might get a baby out of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can give a baby away next year, maybe.
Yeah. You really just got to find a way to top yourself every year, that might get tiring.
Every year I have. So, like, it started out, we had one family, and they had four kids, and two of them were disabled, and we got them, like, a van with a lift, and, like, we had a porch built so the kids could, for the wheelchairs and stuff.
Wow.
And almost all of it I got donated. So it's really, if you're doing something good, a lot of companies are more than willing to help you out.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, legit, you know, they know who you are and what you're doing.
I've done a little bit of stuff with a bike thing that I do, getting bikes for handicapped people and stuff.
Oh, man.
It is super easy to get people to give stuff.
Yeah. But then once it starts getting bigger, then it starts to get out of hand. You're just I need some people to help me with this.
People trying to give you stuff and you're like, I don't have time to distribute this.
Yeah. Or a place to hold it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? That's got to be a big part of it, too.
Big part.
You can't fit it all in the trunk of the car you're giving away.
Or, you know, if you've got a one car garage, there's just no room.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's go back to comedy for a minute, because that's amazing. That really is, and I commend you for that. Because
thanks.
My background, you know, apart from comedy, is in the non-for-profit world, too, so I care very much
for
these things.
Holiday cheer we're spreading.
Holiday cheer.
Yeah.
Holiday cheer.
That's what I mean. Let's donate for yours, then.
All right.
That's what we should be doing, right?
Okay. Yeah. I got a
place.
Help
out local people.
I got a place. We are actually, you know what? In the lobby at Comedy at the Carlson right now by the door, there is a big box for the Open Door Mission. So if you're coming to a show...
Yeah.
Bring blankets. I was talking to somebody from there not too long ago. One of the big needs are razors, shave cream, and stuff
really?
Like that. Because they help homeless men a lot.
Awesome.
So like they need those kind of things. Toiletries and stuff like that go
especially
a long way.
Especially if they're trying to get a new job.
100%.
They got to look presentable.
So if you're coming tonight, spread a little Christmas cheer, throw something in the box, and we'd appreciate that. So back to
something they can use.
Yeah.
So don't be throwing your gum wrappers in there or something. You know, it's something they can use.
That garbage can is wrapped up like a present.
I know it. You know some idiot's going to do it.
Isn't
so.
That festive?
Back to comedy.
Well, when you're doing stand-up.
Yes.
Or when you're doing improv, you're, you know, how long did it take you doing improv before you made it into Second City?
I wasn't. I've moved up fast.
Really?
Yeah, it clicked with me really fast. So I was right away, I was Larry Campbell's understudy.
Okay.
And then they all left, and I got to move up. But as I was moving up, I was already doing comedy, too, stand-up. So I liked stand-up so much more because I don't got to share the stage.
Yeah.
And I can make the audience my improv group. So if ever there's ever anything I want to mess with, I go to the audience. And then it's awesome because every show is different because you're just making up stuff with whatever they're giving you. So I write jokes where I'm like, oh, I don't go like, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? I'm not doing that crap. I do, hey, this is what I love. And does anybody else love this too? Well, really? Well, how do you do it? Or whatever, you know?
Sure.
And then I make fun of them.
There's a lot of audience participation.
I love it.
Yeah. I do too, actually. I'm a big fan of that. I'd rather have the audience on your side and laughing with you.
I've gotten so I do. I didn't at first.
It's better than talking to people.
Listen to what I say.
Right.
But now I've gotten so I really do.
But if you get good at this, they're going to shut up and listen to what you say. And then can't believe you're making up something that they just gave you.
Yeah.
But I hate when people call it crowd work because
do
to
you
me,
really?
It's just always got a negative. It's just a negative look on it for some reason. Mostly with comics, they go, "Oh, he does a lot of crowd work." Well, I'm not going. What's your name? Where you're from? That to me is crowd work.
Okay.
I'm doing like you kind of said it really good earlier, Ivan. I forgot what it was. Kind of something interaction.
Yeah, said. Audience interaction.
Audience interaction. I love that. I think that's better.
It is, and You know, not. I mean, crowd work is a term. I think it's just a blanket negative term.
I think it's got less of a negative term than, or negative feel than it used to. It still has a bit of a negative feel, but yeah. You know, like Todd Barry did that whole.
That's right.
Crowd work. I think it's less negative connotation than it used to be. But yeah. You're right. It still does have a negative.
I've seen comics do a full crowd work type show, and what made me sad about it, I think the negative part of it to me was that even though it was an all crowd work show, it's very similar. Each show is very similar.
Oh yeah, he's basically doing sketch.
Formulaic.
Right.
Like formulaic just takes everybody down the path he wants to, but yes, acknowledging that you're here and that you said something about this, but still just taking it on the path you want, which is fine.
But he's not really playing off what they said. It just kind of fits into the story. A lot of canned responses,
I felt like. Because, you know, when you hear the same joke.
Yes. I feel like that's different, too, from what I do, because I'm not using stuff I've used before. I'm trying to make up something new for what they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you, like I said, man, you're on another level.
Thank you.
You are on another level. And, I mean, it's one of those things that you have to see it to get it, I think. And you have an opportunity. Two more shows this weekend, people. So
it's one of those things I get people coming up to me all the time going, you knew they were going to say that, right? Or did you tell them in advance or something? And I'm like, no. I don't know those people, right?
Has anybody ever really gotten you good where you were just like didn't see it coming with something they said?
The only thing that's been okay. It's not necessary. Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes, but it's kind of something different. So I was doing colleges. I actually quit doing colleges because of this. So I'm doing a show at UNI.
I can't wait.
I'm intrigued.
UNI and University of Northern Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And it's their move-in day. So it's, you know, these kids just out of college or out of high school. They don't know anyone yet. Mm-hmm. And they're moving in and their parents are there and stuff. So I have to do a show for 18 and under.
So it's like fresh meet Rob.
Right. Then 19 and up. The 19 and ups have been to the stand-up shows before. They tell me they're great. You're going to love that one. 18 and under, they were very hem-hawing about it and saying it's going to be rough. Well, it was going about as pretty much as how I planned. Well, it's a three-tiered theater, and up in the top tier, I hear somebody making noises. And I'm like, what? It almost sounds like I thought they're heckling me. Mm-hmm. So what I did is stop the show, and I just looked up there, and I can't swear. So I'm like, what the heck is going on up
there?
What
the gosh darn jeez are you doing, sir?
Golly, the Jesus.
And stop fudging around.
So this girl yells, she's got Tourette's.
Oh, Christ.
The whole crowd just freezes and looks at me.
I saw it coming, but it still hurts.
And I just went... Okay, then. And I just went right back. I didn't know. I totally blacked me out.
Carry on.
I kept going, and I was like, well, the rest of this is going to be very painful, and I'm just going
to
finish it.
Did they get back behind you? Were you able to
No, that show was already kind of in the dump, so it wasn't no fun anyways. But when I got off stage, they all come running back to me, because I didn't even go out to the meet and greet. I went right backstage. I didn't come out. And the people who run it come up and says, oh, my God, that's the exact same thing that happened to Brian Regan last year. And I was like, are you kidding me? I goes, why doesn't somebody, like, check these students and go, if anybody has something that he should know about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you got that as a disability, tell someone before you go to a live performance.
Could you imagine teaching that class?
That's exactly what I said, because can you imagine her being in a class? Well, okay, so it gets worse. I'm not
sure.
Even.
Okay.
Well, it gets way worse.
Oh, keep going.
So that show ends. And I think it's all done. Well, the second show starts, and it's going great. Just like they said, it'd be super fun, and it is. And I'm playing with them, and finally I can't get that out of my head, right? You do stand-up, right?
Yeah.
So if you had something bad happen, that's all you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Second show, maybe not, but all right.
Second show, because it's crushing, so I'm thinking, well, I know I'm doing good, so why wasn't it doing good in the first show?
Okay.
So, and I can't get that out of my head, so finally I just stop the show, and I go, I got to tell you guys something, man. This student in the first show had Tourette's, and there was nothing. I didn't know what to say. Can we swear on here?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I goes, I didn't know what to say, but I wish I could go back and go, how awesome is that? You could tell any teacher to fuck off, and there's nothing they can do about it, right?
Yeah.
And the crowd was like, yeah.
So you took a positive spin on it.
Exactly. You said the right word. So I get a call from my agent the next morning as I'm sitting at the airport, and he goes, the fuck happened last night? I goes, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, some girl had Tourette's? I goes, oh my God, yeah. So I tell him the story. He goes, you know what happened after that second show? And I said, no. And he goes, her and her mother found out, somebody told him you were teasing her in the second show. So she went to the school, to the dean of the school, bawling, trying to get me fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, you only did two shows, so.
Right, I'm already done.
I'm already gone to the airport.
Done and paid, yeah.
So, you know.
But, well, I hadn't gone to the airport yet. This was like right after the
gotcha.
Show. So, but I'm already done. I'm paid, you know, basically. So the dean totally backed me up. He goes, we were there. We saw what he did. He did not turn into a bad thing. He was trying to make it a positive thing. And then, so they weren't happy with that. So they went to the police to try to get me arrested.
Holy shit.
And the police said, hey, it's freedom of speech and all this stuff. Oh, plus, God. I have the recording. So, I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying it's like, how?
What are you, Letty Bruce?
Right? I kind of was hoping they were going to arrest me because I was like, oh, this is going to be a better story. Yeah. But they didn't. And then they go, well, would you do a three-way call with her? And I was like, I'd do a three-way with her.
Sure. Her and the mob. Get her on the phone.
But I told him, I goes, I don't feel like I have to, but I will because I don't want any bad will towards anybody mm-hmm. or you guys, the college. And at this point, I'm still thinking I'm going to do colleges. You know, I was doing a ton of them. So they could not get her to get on the phone. She wouldn't do it. So I said, well, you tell her I'll donate to the Tourette's Foundation, whatever. I'll donate to my fucking Tourette's Foundation. And,
that's actually the name of it. It's the actual name.
That's the name, yeah. But she was just not having it. And I was like, what the hell did you call me
listen,
for then?
Listen, here's the thing.
This is a waste of time.
Then be mad. Then go be mad.
Yes. And you're going to hate being in a class with her because the whole time she's like, beep, bop, beep, bop, beep, walla, walla, bang, bang, or whatever. I don't
sure.
know, what she, but it's horrible.
I feel like it's very hard for people with disabilities to go through life.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And it's and I get that. But to want to be hurt. When someone is coming to you and saying, hey, listen, I wasn't, you got bad information first off. You got bad info.
Right.
The dean told you you got bad info. And I'm telling you, I would never want to hurt you. I would never want to do that.
Right.
Relax!
I know it. You think by that point, she's a freshman in college, you'd think this would have happened a million times in high school. So why is she still worried about this?
Because it happened a million times in high school.
Oh, my God.
At first day of college. You're pretty, you know, she quit school.
Tell
in fact, could you guys bring her in?
I wish she was here so I could throat punch that bitch.
Because
I'm like, you lost me a lot of money, basically.
So nobody would hire you after that? Or you just...
No, I just quit doing them. I told my agent. I goes, man, I don't think I should be doing these anymore.
But that's on you, though.
It was great money, though.
That's on you, though.
Yeah, but...
I blame you.
It was a buildup. Like, college is just starting to suck and suck.
Well, you're not the only comedian who's abandoned doing college.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. But you want to hear something? I just did a middle school last week. Talk about not getting pussy. But it was. Those kids will not even a handy or nothing. But it was. And you know they got the energy. They're young still. So anyways. But. No, my best friend was the principal. And they get a grant, like kind of like how colleges do. And if they don't spend it, they lose it. So he's like, hey, would you come in and do a show? So I did a show for 7th and 8th, 8th, and, or no, 7th, 6th and 7th, 7th and 8th. And then the one at night for their parents. And just like the colleges, the first one sucked. 6th and 7th.
6th and 7th grade.
Actually, no, 7th and 8th was worse because those kids think they're too cool for school.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to give you nothing.
Yeah. So... You know, I don't put up with that shit. I go right at
it's
them.
It's like performing in front of hipsters. They'll be like,
that's exactly what it
was. Oh, yes, that was very amusing.
Yeah.
But they're not going to laugh.
I felt like I was in Brooklyn Heights doing like a taco truck or something. Yeah. That's what it felt like. Yep. We're about to get on the train.
I used to run an open mic, and sometimes we call it apathetic hipster night, where the room is packed, and they're into it, not laughing.
Right. And then they leave and they're like, that was great. And
I'm like, you're like, well, dude, what?
A big part of my show is I need your laughter. So please,
well, you're coming here to laugh.
Yeah.
Bring it all with you.
It's like watching a porn and the girl don't make any noise. You ever see one of them? She's just laying there taking it. And you're like, she's being raped right now. There's no way, because she's not even into it. She's not
moaning. Was she like this?
No, but I mean, she's just sitting there going, you know.
On her phone.
Yeah, I just watched one last on her phone.
I've actually seen videos like that. There were girls who were like, it's on their thing. Phones.
Oh, I was with a girl. Oh, I can't believe I'm telling this. She wanted to take pictures of us. So she's like, I'm behind her. And by the way, to do real doggy style is you're supposed to be driving down the road with her head out the window.
Right, and a leash.
Right. Right.
Leash and a harness.
Right. A little bit of slobber flying while sure. she's, yeah, so.
Ears flapping.
That's true doggy. So. And I'm petting her as, you know, I'm like, you're doing good. You're good. She's barking at the cars as we go by, but she, no.
I'm not making the Tourette's joke there. Oh. I'm not doing it. I learned from you.
The Tourette's girl.
I want to play colleges.
No, you don't.
I know.
You just want the money is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. But what was I going to say about this? Oh.
What was I going to say? Taking pictures.
Oh, yeah. So I'm behind. She's right there. So she's taking pictures. And it's like you can see my stupid goofy face from behind. And then she's like taking forever. And I'm like, well, you gonna show me or what? She's putting Snapchat filters on it. Now she looks like an angel and she put devil horns on me. I'm like, what are you doing, bitch? Just take the regular. Why can't we just take regular sex pictures now? Now we got to dress them up.
Listen, if the filters are there, you might as well use them. That's my motto. Oh,
you know, when I make it, I'll take all the filters I can get.
Right. Really?
I'm not going to complain. Yeah, do whatever you got to do. Well, get that airbrush tool.
Want your headline and you don't want no more filters. Mm. I don't know.
I don't know what.
It's why filters are why I don't play colleges no more, Brian.
It's amazing, though, like what you'll say, and these kids just freak right out now. Oh, they got safe rooms? Have you seen one of these yet?
Oh, I know. Oh, you guys are in college. Joe, are you in college? No.
Oh.
I have heard.
Why did you say yes when I looked at you? Oh, you just wanted to be a part of it.
This is his first day. Okay. He's very intimate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's also your last name, by the way. So it's not working out. So, anyways,
thanks for letting him know for
dude,
me.
Dude, I know.
I was going to be so weird later. So this would be so weird later when I had to tell him.
You can say, but grab a water pretty soon and go. So, but we're
the waters are for the guests.
I didn't mean a real one. I meant like there's a fountain out there. So, anyways,
fountains for the guests.
Oh, it is. You go out there and it says blacks only, and you're like, what? No white guy can drink from this. Was that too far?
Reverse. Yeah, that's reverse racism.
I'm not racist. I'm choosing the blacks.
The sign changes depending on who we don't want to drink from.
Anyways, so have you guys been to one of these safe rooms yet?
I've heard of them. I have not.
They're legendary. I've heard about them. I've never been to one.
I couldn't believe it.
You went into one. You were actually in one.
My nephew's going to, we took him to see some colleges because he's going to college. And
that shit's on the tour, isn't it?
That was on the tour, and they brag about it.
We have the biggest safe room in the Midwest.
If you're ever feeling like, you know, just emotionally need to get away. And then I wrote down the stuff that they have in the room because
oh please I was
like, there's no way which I even wrote down what she said.
She goes,
it's an inclusive environment where students of any race, gender, sexuality, any class, any ability can go find compassion and empathy while escaping the pressures of prejudice.
And that's a nice sentiment.
It is nice.
But they've gotten so over the top self-righteous about it.
It should be called a sentiment room.
I thought it was called the library, to be honest. Right. But like now they got this room and they got coloring books, Play-Doh.
Wait.
So it's third grade recess.
Did you say, like, we're talking real coloring books and Play-Doh, like the stuff you'd see at a daycare?
Oh, yeah. I'm not done. Bubbles. Sleeping bags so they can take a nap.
And go to your room.
And this is the only one where I was kind of like, I might have to come. It's puppies.
Okay. Like, if you had a puppy room, nobody would be mad at you.
Right. Right.
I think if they had that in my school, I'd be persecuted every day just so I could go take a nap with a puppy.
Oh, you don't even have to tell them. You just go, I'm having a rough day and just go in.
Go take a nap with a puppy.
Yeah.
So you just go in there and.
Yeah.
Hey, let's blow bubbles, guys.
Hey, there's sleeping bags. Let's go hump in that fucking sleeping bag, right? Like, who's stopping them from getting it on?
Nobody.
Nobody.
It'd make you feel better about your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was called a pussy. Well, how's yours? Let's get in it. Right? Like, there's...
Well...
it's ridiculous.
How big of a room are we talking?
It was like a... It was.
Could you paint the picture? Can you paint the picture of what the room looked like? Like colors and
it
stuff.
It looked like a kid's,
like a daycare.
Daycare. It looked exactly like a daycare. And that was supposed to make them feel comfortable.
Paintings of trees and stuff on the wall.
Think about it,
like, what are we talking?
That age range of kids. I don't know how old you guys are, but the guys over there in your other group,
the children,
they grew
the boys.
Up with daycares. And that wasn't something we... Did you guys live...
Nope.
You have to go to a daycare?
No.
Not even.
No
not
joke.
Even.
You know who my parents left me with? I have an uncle with cerebral palsy who was my babysitter my entire childhood.
Man, I'm so glad you said cerebral palsy because I thought you were going to say, I had an uncle with really grabby hands. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they left me with my uncle.
But he was probably fun.
Eh.
No?
No, not really.
I didn't even do preschool.
The only cerebral palsy guys I know are comics. So they're always... I think they'd be fun, but
my uncle was under the supervision of my grandmother. So they're like, here you go, take care of him.
Oh my God.
Keep an eye on those two. I was like, really? Mom and Dad?
You're getting watched by proxy.
Correct.
Like it's not, yeah.
Wow.
It was more of like, just play with your uncle is really what it was.
And then they go to him and go, you can play with him if you want. Well, cerebral palsy is not.
It's a true story. I love my and you know what? I'm named after him. It's my Uncle Vinny. Love him.
Wow.
Great guy. But, I mean, it's a weird choice to make is all I'm saying.
Wow.
I threw a lot out there. Back to safe rooms.
Well, I feel bad for you.
No, I'm great.
We didn't even have babysitters. My mom would go to work at midnight, and then we were in bed, so.
Your pillow
as long as we
heard
the fire alarm, we're fine, I guess. That's all. Yeah. We were sleeping the whole time we were alone.
Wow. Yeah, my parents left for work before I went to school. I finished getting ready for school myself.
Yeah. That was the rough stuff for us. These kids are like in safe rooms getting coddled by puppies.
Yep. So in the safe room, is there like, how many people would you say? How many kids were taking advantage of
it? From what I heard is, I mean, it could be literally any size. They could be all different, how many groups. And they even have ones just for religions, for different religions to go and get away.
Really?
And relax.
Mm. Okay.
So she said there was a lot of them. You have to take your shoes off because it's very Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't do any of that, anything?
I would think if you were a member of a persecuted religion, you wouldn't want to gather all together in one enclosed room.
Yeah, right. Know where they are.
Yeah, if there's that much persecution outside, you might want to...
Just see one long wick coming down the sidewalk.
Let's all go to one windowless room.
God. And have our meeting.
Oh.
Yes. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. So... You're not doing that. You're doing mostly clubs, and you're doing theaters and doing good stuff.
Clubs, theaters, and a ton of cruises.
Ah.
I'm doing a lot of cruises. I just did my 165th cruise.
Wow.
And I just got bumped up, so now I'm
Do they give you a free buffet after the 165th? Or?
Oh, yeah, you get the free buffet as soon
as
you're
done. You've been doing it so long, they probably treat you pretty good. I've heard horror stories on the cruise ships from comics.
You know why? It's because it's crazy lonely, and the money used to suck, but... they just bumped me up to a point where I'm like, there's no club paying me this good. I mean, it's really good.
Do it.
And,
that's awesome.
And I can do a back to front, which means you're on the last half of one cruise and the first half of the next. And it's the same amount of days as a regular cruise, but you're only doing, so you're doing like 4 to 5 days and you're getting paid double because it's two separate cruises.
Oh, nice.
It's awesome. But you're doing 10 shows instead of just five.
Right.
And which I don't care.
Now, a cruise show versus a show at a club, main differences are there's really not a host or anything. They just
a host.
Oh, there is a host.
But it's usually like one of the social hosts on the cruise.
So like one of the employees, everybody, you having a good time?
Hey, we got drink specials, and so here's your guy tonight. Like we do our own show, so you're not on with another comic.
Uh-huh.
And then
show's an hour?
Half hour. You do 5 half-hour shows.
Nice.
And I do everyone different.
And you're required to do everyone different, right?
Nope. We're only required. We can repeat you got to do 2 family friendly shows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Everybody calls it the kid show, but it's not. It's just clean. You have to be clean. No cussing. So, you know, I do 2 of those, both different. And then you're only hired to do one and you can repeat it if you want.
Yeah.
And then the adult shows, you have to have 2, but you can repeat stuff in the third one if you want.
Interesting.
But I do them all different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you're on a boat. You got to do five shows on a boat, on the same boat.
Right.
Same people.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what? It feels like, I don't know how long you guys have been doing stand-up, but it feels like before the recession. You know when clubs really started taking a hit
in
the mid-2000s, I think it was? And it feels like before that again. No, because, I mean, they're always packed. It's the one thing to do on the cruise that feels like they're seeing something fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're always there. The shows are, it's always standing room only. You just crush every show. Even if you suck, these people don't care. They're so happy for it.
They got nothing else to do.
They're literally sell a lot of merch. Yeah.
I bet you sell a ton of merch.
And what's cool, like last night there was people that had seen me on a cruise. So now when you go back to Play City, they're like, oh, we saw you on. Like,
and they tell their friends and bring more people.
Yep. That's exactly what happened last night. There was a group of this husband and wife, and they brought six people with them.
Slight risk, you might wind up shitting in a plastic bag, though, at some point.
Shit, what?
When everybody got sick on that,
you know how many cruises go out?
they all had to shit every single day.
But listen, if there was, you could sell 100 cars every single day from a dealership and never have any problems. but if you sell the one car that somebody gets stuck in and has to shit into a plastic bag and it makes the news, I don't care how many cars you sold that don't do this.
Right.
There's the one, and we all know about it, and therefore you got
to
be careful.
Well, it's that or Titanic is the other thing you always hear when people walk to the front of the ship.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about sinking anymore. Yeah. They're pretty good with
Be more worried about a sociopath pushing you overboard.
You know what they don't tell you is a lot of the good things that happen. Like, I've been on a few ships where we've rescued some other boats.
Because you're required to, right, by maritime law?
Oh, yeah. They love to throw out maritime law for all... They throw it out all the time for weird things.
It sounds like the happiest law.
It's the dickest one, to be honest, because we'll get to a port at, like, when we can get off the ship. We'll get there at, like, 6 a.m. They don't book our flights till like, 5 p.m.
Mm.
What the hell are we going to do for that long, right? So if we ask them, like, I always ask, like, can I get it before? Because there's one at 11, and they're like, maritime law, we can't book before noon. I'm like... You show me where it says that in maritime. I did a bunch of searches. I couldn't find it.
Admiral so-and-so.
Right.
Creed.
Right. Yeah. There's no maritime law. They're just...
Well, he was on the poop deck, which makes it law.
I think maritime translates to crazy make-em-up laws.
It feels that way. Because they'll put us on the very first cruise out of there, but going home... Even if you... Here's what I don't get. Book us on the earlier flight. We miss it. We got all these other options in that same airline. But we missed the one you did. Now we're screwed, and you got to buy us a hotel for the night.
Yeah, well, that's on them, and they'll pay for it. I mean, it sucks for you guys.
It sucks for us because it's our one day
fucking
off.
Maritime law.
I know it. Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
What advice would you give to a young performer these days? If somebody was thinking about getting on stage for the first time, I mean, what would you say to them?
I just tell them to have fun. This just happened the other night. This girl wrote me and says, my first time, and it was last night. And she goes, I'm so nervous about my material. I go, don't worry about it. She goes, just go up and have fun with it, because otherwise you're going to overthink everything and you're probably going to screw up then. So just have fun. And if you mess up, it's a happy accident. Play it off. Go, hey, well, I won't do that, or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just have fun with it. But, yeah, there's no reason to stress yourself out about it yet until you're starting to make money. And then that's where stress starts to come.
You know?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Especially one of those questions that I try to ask everybody, because there's a lot of different insights and a lot of people have different things. And I think you're the first person who said be loose with it and enjoy yourself.
It's 100% true, though.
No, it is.
Why would anybody say different?
Because they want to sound clinical and like they know. But I like what you said there. A lot of people say just do it. You know, things like that, but that's interesting.
I think you got to have fun with it, because if you don't, like, even if it goes bad and you didn't have fun, now you're like maybe not likely to give it more tries. Where, I mean, when you're trying new jokes, how many times does it work the first time? It's very rare.
100%.
100%. Yes, and that's why you made the top 10 highest grossing comics last year.
It was 11. It was number 11.
No,
You know, there's something to be said about like someone coming in from improv into stand up and having that mentality of being loose.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
It's such a good piece of advice. I just want people to stop and think about what he just said there. Think about shows that you've watched. Think about people that you've seen on stage, and realize that, you know, it's not as easy as it looks.
No,
but they always look like they're having a good time while they do it.
Yes.
And I guess maybe fake it till you make it.
If that's what helps you.
Just feel loose, you know what I mean? Try to be as loose as you can and make it feel as natural as possible.
I always say just make it seem like you're just talking to a bunch of buddies.
And even if you're terribly nervous, it'll serve you well.
Right.
And it's a good point, too, that, the stress comes later when you're getting paid.
Yeah. Once you start getting paid, you're like, oh, now I need to get better and better to make more and more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
I kind of started out at a cool time because it's weird. When I started, everybody's like, you, worst time to start, because it was the 80s were all going down. Excuse me. I started in March 8th, 1998, and I will never forget the day because it's like my new birthday. That's I celebrate it every year. Mm-hmm. So
we'll send you a card.
Thank you. Well, my real birthday's Christmas Eve, so, you know, some
carrot cake. Not sending you a card.
Carrot cake would be nice. But what was I saying though? I forgot what I was doing.
Saying you started at an interesting time.
Oh yeah. They were saying that like the decline was down, but when I started, there was 10 clubs in Detroit, and not one of them cared if you played the other one, and it was awesome. And so you're playing all these clubs, then you had another good 10 to 20 within a couple hours radius. So I started in Michigan, Detroit. There were so many clubs you could work and get better and better so fast.
Yeah.
If you really worked at it. And I was like busting my butt. But what was cool was the internet was just kind of, it makes me sound old, but in the late 90s, I was the only comedian, and I'm not saying this to like a pat on my back or that's not true, 100% true. I was the only comedian in Detroit that had a website. Because that was my degree. So I had an awesome website, too. So I started getting all these corporate gigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no business doing them. So I would bring as many guys as I could with me.
They didn't know any better. The guy's booking you.
This guy must be good. Look at this website.
Yeah.
This guy must be good at making websites.
And I was wasn't horrible. I just wasn't at the level.
You weren't what you are.
No way. I could probably do 10 minutes, and then I would stretch with whatever else I could come up with. And then we even, like, I brought a few guys with me, and I'm like, try to do as much as you can. Like, we got to fill an hour. And that felt like forever back then, you know?
I know there were times I've thought about, okay, we got to fill 90 minutes. And then your brain just starts to explode thinking about how long.
Right.
It really is.
But now I think it feels like, you know, when we're booking a show, we're like, oh, we only have 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like.
Well, you could get about 2 jokes in 90 minutes. So.
Yeah.
don't be a dick. I can get at least 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bit of a
long burn. He likes the long burn.
I used to be.
Slow burn.
Not really anymore.
So you're more Old Testament is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I slaughtered a lamb. A
lot of extra words we don't need to know.
Yeah.
You know, and we tease him. Brian's a pretty good comic.
But I definitely did used to be very long-winded.
Yeah.
And then I just...
Well, it's just called cutting the fat, man. Yeah. That's how you make the joke, get to the joke quicker.
Yeah.
I want to mention this, too, real different.
Please
I don't know your first time on stage was like. Everybody
Glorious.
Thought I was freaking out because I was like kind of in the corner doing this. But what I was doing was just trying to memorize the jokes. Whereas everybody else kind of writes out their set.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. I just kind of go like this.
So you're telling me you don't have sets written down anywhere?
Never.
You've never written down a set?
Or
never.
You have a set list?
Never.
Never you even never, a list?
When you come up with a joke, you don't sit down and write it down ever?
For writing the joke out, but I'm talking more about sets.
Memorizing your set list, okay.
Because I think that's the improv in me. So I just let it flow, and if it goes some other way, well, then I'm going that way then. And I can work my way back to that.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I have set lists, but I never write down a joke.
Yeah.
I'll write down 3 or 4 words so that I remember that it exists.
Which
well, that's
kind of
how I am, too.
I'm amazed that you finally realized that you've never written a joke.
it's been painfully obvious.
It's a Christmas miracle, we finally realized.
Huh.
Huh. I love you.
Oh, so here's the cool thing. So when I got up on stage for the very first time, and I don't know if you guys had anything like this, it almost felt like an out-of-body experience. I told my first joke. It got a big laugh, and then all of a sudden it felt like somebody poured warm paint over my whole body, and I just was crazy calm, and I said, this is what I'm doing the rest of my life. And I went on and did the rest of my set, and it went great. But that whole feeling of feeling like, because, you know, there was the nerves and your anxiety and stuff, and it was literally gone that quick. Yep. And I was just, this is awesome. I couldn't believe it.
I always say that my favorite thing of being on stage is that's when I am completely calm. Because I'm not thinking about anything else.
Right.
Because I can't.
Right.
You know, not the audience's enjoyment, not the ticket sales, not the...
you know what? They must love you, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't tease them unless you love them.
100. Yeah. Brian, my New Year's resolution is to be nice to you.
That'll last until January 3rd.
I'm not even going to make it to New Year's.
Well, the middle acts like that for me.
When's the first show after the first?
The one that you have booked? I couldn't tell you.
The second or third. No, the first episode of this, that's when you'll start being an asshole.
No, I love you. I do love you, Brian, and I'm sorry.
Well, I'm the same way. I tease a bunch of guys, but it's because I love them.
Yeah, I can't.
And you must be a good sport about it, or else if you were all whiny.
And he gives it out, too.
Yeah.
Never in a timely fashion. He has to go back and think about it, but he gives it out.
Well, that's because he writes out three words, and then he's like, all right.
No, and it's if I'm not making fun of you, that means I can't be bothered with
it. I realize it's not.
You know, it's just.
Yeah.
You know,
if you could
insult.
Just be quiet, though, while the real comics talk would be great.
Thank you.
God damn it!
I feel
the
like,
room has turned.
I feel like it's never a really good comeback if you have to start it with, hey, do you remember the other day when you said.
Right? You never see those guys do
that. No, I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
God damn. We got one more show, or two more shows tonight with Rob Little here at Comedy at the Carlson. I really enjoy talking to you.
I don't want it to end. I feel like
there's
so many other things we could go into. It's
I don't know.
Exciting.
I kind of want it to end.
Okay.
I've been mocked enough. You can leave.
Yeah, nobody's saying. Enough. Yeah. Your feet aren't glued. You can go. No. Stay, dude. You might learn something. So, well,
what the fuck has happened here?
It's my Christmas gift.
The weird thing is, I really like to go like this. I'm feeling like I'm channeling Rickles right now. I just feel like he was so good at it.
You know, here's the thing about Brian. He's just the best person, one of the nicest people in the world. He's a great friend and a great guy.
See?
But he's such a good foil.
Oh,
he's such a good foil. I can't help it sometimes.
Have you guys met the middle act this week, Stephen Rogers?
I know Stephen. Stephen opened for me.
100%. Same thing.
Me too.
You can rip on him and he'll take it and never get upset.
I have a really funny Stephen Rogers story that I cannot tell on the show.
Oh,
I will tell you later.
Okay.
And you'll cry laughing. I told it to Mark this morning and he was gasping for breath.
Steve Rogers is taking a moment to say something nice about Steve Rogers.
He's on this tonight? That's a good show.
I bring him with me everywhere.
We brought him up. You know, we were hosting open mics and hosting shows.
I love Steven.
And I feel zero animosity that he's as successful as he is. Like, it doesn't bother me a bit, which says something about how nice a kid, I'm going to say. But he's what?
I think
late 20s.
I might have been there for one of his first times.
Yeah.
It was a real weird one-nighter at, like, an Elks club somewhere.
Okay.
Yep.
And he was so nervous, and his dad drove him. And I know his dad's the best. His dad's, like, the greatest dude in the world.
He's, like, my second dad. Like, I just feel it.
Has he ever taken you to meet Alice Cooper?
No. But me and him talk more than I definitely talk to Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Steve Rogers is the hardest working guy.
Great joke writer.
I'm very impressed how often he writes. Now, the jokes, no, he's all right.
He does write great jokes.
He's pretty good, yeah. I love him in front of me because we're such a good contrast of styles. So he's somebody great to have in front of you if you
want. You hear that, Steven? You're a great opener.
Yeah, he is.
Just teasing him.
Well, he is.
I love that kid. Do not leave without hearing my Steve Rogers story. I will not tell it on air unless he's here.
Okay.
I would never do that to him. Let's
Does
just say
it
involved
it?
It involved an ambulance. He knows it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It involves an ambulance and a trip back to the hotel after the ambulance took him,
God.
Where he felt really silly. That's all I'm going to say.
God.
Love that kid. Come see that show.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
How do you, when you do write jokes, are you the kind that just something pops in your head and that's it?
100%.
Or do you ever just pick a topic and sit down to write about a topic?
I can't do the pick a topic thing. And if I do, it always feels like I like my jokes to sound like it's a story that happened to me.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't matter what it is that happened to me or somebody in my family or a friend or something. But I'm making it right away out. It's personal.
I think it's always the best way to go.
Yeah.
But Steven writes a lot of jokes where they're just jokes.
Steven hears like just a, like, you know, a turn of phrase or.
Right.
You know, he's very.
It's a style you don't see a lot anymore.
Not anymore. It's almost Seinfeldish, almost, except it's a little wackier than Seinfeld.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little sillier.
It's a little sillier, but it's that. Did you ever notice, or someone said this the other day,
yes.
And it's real quick, flip around. He's quick writer, quick, yep. Smart kid.
Yep.
And like I said, deserves all the success he got. Deserves it all. He's doing good.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. All the guys I bring seem to crush after. Because I used to bring, I brought a guy who did like Ferguson 4 times. And then Tommy Ryman. Do you guys know him?
I've met Tommy.
Tommy's got like the most hits on the Dry Bar Comedy Show.
Oh,
he's like crushing on that, man.
Maybe I
can't bring him anymore. He's gotten so good. I'm like, he's starting to headline his own now. So I'm like,
okay, not who I was thinking of. My mistake.
He's a little goofy.
Haven't met Tommy.
Dude.
Would love to meet you, Tommy. Come to a show sometime,
God,
buddy.
You guys would love him.
I thought I would.
He's this kind of guy. By the end of it, you're like, I gotta hug him. He's just adorable. I gotta hug him. He's crazy positive. Just awesome. Yeah. He's awesome. I did his wedding, actually. I'm ordained, so I do weddings sometimes. And I did his. Was the first one.
How'd you decide to do that? Just for the fun of it?
No, because he said he wanted me to do it. So I went online and did it. Now I've done a bunch since his, but...
Maybe I'll give you a call for my next marriage.
Yeah, probably not. But he... no. I mean, it's just going to be a roast, so if you want.
I always thought I would... Well, no, I'll be walking you down the aisle to your bride, giving you away.
Yeah, I love doing them for buddies because I think that's more fun and you kind of can rip on them and stuff.
Yeah.
But you got to do it in a lighthearted way because it's a wedding, for Christ's sakes, you know? So,
what's your favorite joke you ever wrote that didn't go over, that made you mad about it?
Didn't go over.
Has there ever been a joke that you wrote that you really loved and you really wanted to go over and you would do it and crowds just looked at you?
Like, I have this one, but like comics loved it.
Right.
But the crowd never
And those are the ones that the crowds never love as much. The ones that's a real comics joke.
But to me, I love doing act outs. Uh-huh. So I think maybe that's why I really love Sebastian Maniscalco too. Mm-hmm. And I used to do shows
number
with
15
him.
On the list, actually.
10, actually, this year.
Was he 10? I thought it was top 10 15.
On that Forbes one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in probably the real one, because they left out a bunch of people on that one, like that are comedians that make a lot of money. A lot of women are left off.
There wasn't one.
Ellen should be on there. What's her name?
I think that one list they were being very specific about, that you had to be primarily a comedian, not an actor that did
comedy. Kevin Hart made
Kevin
it.
Kevin Hart is all movies. Yeah. Most of the bulk of his money.
I think maybe he's just on the cusp of people realizing that he's
going
the movie route.
Yeah. Well, what were you just about to talk about again?
I was asking you about jokes that you really loved that crowds didn't love as much as you did.
I mean, this joke, I loved it when I thought of it. And then I did it, and these comics, all the comics loved it, but it would never get a big laugh. And it was basically I was too afraid to break up with this girl. But she lived in a cul-de-sac, so I just would do this drive-by breakup where every time I'd drive by, I'd be like, it's just not working out. And then just keep driving in a circle. And I'd be like, I need my stuff back. And like she'd come out, and I'd be like, grab my stuff and just keep driving in a circle. And I'd act that out. I'd be doing it all. Yeah. And the comics, because I would run with the different things that I wanted. And they thought that was great, but I never got laughs.
It's not you, but it's me.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit me.
I did say that, too.
Who gets the dog?
Yep. I said all that typical crap. It was like one of my very first jokes.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you have pretty high batting average, I take it, then, for stuff that you're right. You do
it's
pretty good.
It's crazy. Like, I just don't say it unless I'm positive it's going to. I know that sounds horrible.
No, I kind of get that.
I just go. Yeah, this is going to get a laugh, so I'll do it. Like,
you know your own voice.
Yes. But yes. Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Like, if I go a different route and it's not working, I'm like, yeah, because that's not the way I am. Why am I doing it that way? And then I have to go back and rewrite it in my head.
Yeah, I always say, like, you learn eventually that you may write what you know is a good joke, but you know, oh, that's not going to be coming out of my face.
Right. I've written a few where I've given them away because I'm like, man, this is so much more
not,
you.
Not for my face.
Or I just completely change it where it's, you know, if I'm being a jerk in the joke, to me being, it's almost like I'm happy for that stupid thing. Like, I don't know if it's hard to explain.
We
like
got
something
a,
you rip on, and then I'm kind of like acting like it's actually pretty cool. You know?
We have a text question here from Steve R. No, just kidding. It's not Steve R. It's Tim and Webster wants to know, is it true that you used to be roommates with Jimmy Schubert?
Yes.
You and Shuby would live together?
Oh, man.
Your neighbors must have been so annoyed by how much yelling was going on.
Yelling in what way?
Well, yelling in general, because you both can be excitable. Like, Schubert's always screaming every time I'm around him.
Okay. I've never talked about this. He, we met at the Chicago Comedy Festival when that used to be big.
Okay.
And a bunch of my buddies had worked with him. So now, in Detroit, I was kind of like the guy. I was coming up so fast that all the club owners, anytime they brought in a big name, I got to be the opening act.
Nice.
So, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Schubert was coming in, and he was like one of the big names coming in.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about how funny he was. And I had never seen his act yet, so I just called the club up, and I was assuming they were going to put me on with him, and they didn't. So then I would start to write Jimmy. I just started writing Jimmy. Hey, I really want to open for you when you come to Detroit. And now I look back, and I'm like, I can't believe he even replied to me, because – if a comic writes me that stuff, you're like, dude, I got guys that I like. Yeah. I don't even know you, you know? Yeah. So, but he was actually pretty nice. So then we met at the Chicago Comedy Festival, and he saw me go up, and he's like, it was kind of like a test. Mm-hmm. And I did well. So he was like, hey, yeah, so saw your act pretty good, man.
Is a funny imitation. I'm just
it's a horrible
start right
imitation.
There. But I know exactly what you're doing, and it was funny. I'm sorry.
It's a horrible, yeah.
Keep going.
It's him trying to be like feeling me out.
Right.
So he's like, yeah. He's doing his thing. And he's like, yeah, we can get a test out. And, man, dude, there's so much about our lives together for 3 years. Basically.
You lived together for 3 years?
3 years.
Okay.
Wow. He would never admit that. He would never admit that. He actually. So whoever asked this
question.
I've said
a weird thing here. Were you and Jimmy cool? You guys all good?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the thing. Everyone thought we would be the best roommates ever because we're both kind of higher energy, fun guys, uh-huh. Right? We're different types of fun, though. He's he did not want anybody to know he had a roommate. So he told me I couldn't tell anybody we were roommates.
Because he didn't want them to think you were like roommates?
Right. He just didn't. He wanted everybody to think he was doing good enough where he didn't need a roommate.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Keep up appearances.
Which kind of made me feel bad because I was like, yeah, I live with Schubert. You know, I was so excited. I loved
where were
him.
You? In Chicago? Or
no, L.A.
Oh, L.A. Okay.
Yeah. And at this point, I love Schubert. I love him. I just think he's the funniest ever. Some guys are very different off stage.
Sure.
And especially when they're trying to quit smoking, they become very different.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's funny because if you ask him, I'll guarantee he's going to bring up a story about a time where I chewed his ass out because he ate one of my bananas.
Okay. Now, wait. So he ate one of your bananas and you got upset about it and
yes.
You chewed him out?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think I normally would just chew somebody out for eating a banana? Or do you think, whoa, there must have been quite a buildup, and this was just the tipping point?
I don't know. You've been pretty mean to me.
It was a tipping point. Are you saying
I couldn't disagree more? You know, I feel like we love you, and that's why we're doing that.
Are you saying it was a banana-shaped fuse?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was just at a point where I was like, come on, like. I don't know. It was not as fun as we had hoped it would be. Okay. I'm sure he felt the same way.
We can leave it at that. I mean, we don't have to get into all that stuff. And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pit on a sore subject.
I can't say I mean, I loved Schubert. I loved him. I thought he was the funniest guy that wasn't famous. I'm like, he should be super famous. And he wasn't. And, you know, we got along, I think, for the most part. But I definitely felt like somebody that was not welcome. And that I basically hid in my room for 3 years.
Really?
Like, anytime he had people over, I was told not to come
out. You don't live here. Yeah, you don't live here, man. Just get that right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I got a girl coming over and you stay in your room.
I'm going to cheer you up, Brian. We got another viewer comment from our pal Marcus Cox. Mm-hmm. He says, Vinny today looks like Paul Funyuns.
Is this Marcus that used to work at the club?
No, this is just a friend of ours.
Well, that's
I think he's making fun of my flannel today.
Oh.
And Brian, nobody ever gets a joke in on me. I just thought I would cheer this guy up. I hear you. That sounds like a rough time.
It was rough, but you know what? It's still, I wish I would have moved out sooner because I think we'd still be really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'd still be friends with him. I just feel like we've seen each other a few times, but it's very uncomfortable.
You ever thought about just giving him a phone call?
No.
It's the holidays.
No.
Should we get him on the phone?
Jimmy, come in here.
I mean, Jimmy Schubert. Jimmy, don't push down the Tourette's, girl. Okay, just stop it.
You know what? He would come in and destroy this room.
Jimmy's been on here twice. We love
so
Jimmy.
He's so funny. And he'd probably just make fun of me and shit and be like, yeah, like it was no big deal. But it was rough. There was time. He was like my dad. That's kind of how he treated me. You know what I think really screwed me, though, was when I moved out there, he got me a set at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
And I shit bad.
That's like a I bad took a place bit. To go to on your first.
Well, there's three, four rooms in right. that thing, and I wasn't like on one of the main stages.
Sure.
But I took a bit that I use on the road that crushes on the road, but something like that is it's so road hacky.
Yeah.
That yeah. you know, you do it in LA or New York, people are gonna be like, what the.
People don't realize that there's different types of environments for comedy, and good comics have different sets for different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you got to be versatile.
And if you come up doing one particular thing, fact of the matter is, and it doesn't sound, this isn't going to sound nice, it will hamstring you, yep. whether you want it to or not. It does.
Yeah. The bit was about Mardi Gras, because I just, you guys know who Ted Alexandro is?
No, tell me more.
Oh, he's so funny.
Ted Alexandro?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I do.
I think it says Alexandra or something, but it's he says Dro.
He's Ted? Like is it Ted?
Ted.
I thought you said Todd.
He's okay. done like a bunch of Lettermans. He's had a couple specials. He's the opening act for Jim Gaffigan now.
Let's oh, say. I saw him. That's where I did recognize the name.
Yeah.
Bald guy.
I saw Gaffigan
he's
last year.
He's bald now, but he usually yeah. had dark hair. Me and him went to Mardi Gras and like had the craziest time. And I do a bit about it, and then I heard he ended up doing a bit about it, but it was from his perspective, and mine's from mine, obviously, what happened to him. He got arrested, like, in the first hour, and I was by myself for the rest of the night
That's
at Fast Tuesdays.
Probably easy to do in New
oh,
Orleans.
Oh, yeah, we were both showing our dicks.
It's some, oh, okay.
And these cops yeah, come running and arrest him.
To each other?
And I'm like, I'm still out.
That says
like,
a lot about your dick.
I know it. I'm a grower, not a shower. So right. that's why, yeah. But he didn't see him coming. And then I was like taking pictures of him. And they're like, if you don't get out of here, we'll arrest you too. And all this stuff. It was.
So you were taking pictures of him?
Of cops? Ted, yeah, getting arrested. It was awesome.
That's
but
funny.
Then it sucked because, I mean, I'm literally by myself from noon to like 4 in the morning now. But you meet tons of people. It's have you guys ever been there?
Never been to Mardi Gras, awesome. But I've been to New Orleans.
So I basically do the bit at the Comedy Store. And no, it's a bit you do on the road, not on the coast.
Sure.
It's such a, I don't know if you guys have been to like New York City or mm-hmm. LA to perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You can't do the shit that works here because yeah. it's probably not going to work there.
Yeah. It's weird. It's very strange. Like there is a West Coast and an East Coast style of comedy.
Very.
And there's also city comedy and there's also not so city comedy. I mean, it's crazy.
Urban. Yep.
It's crazy how many different ways there are to go and what to write to. But I think you said something that I definitely want to touch on real quick.
Okay.
Being versatile in comedy. Tell the people why it's so important, Rob.
I think it's, well, for me, it's important because I can play any venue. I can play clean, like I just did that middle school, mm-hmm. or I could do a bar and we could say, fuck every other word mm-hmm. and just be, but it's like you have to, once you're making money, which we talked about mm-hmm. making money, you know, the cleaner you are, the better. You're going to work a lot more stuff. But then there's going to be, like, bars that want to hire you. I'm sure you guys have done bars.
Sure. Yeah.
And you got to say whatever the hell you want. It doesn't matter.
But bar shows, I feel like, are some of the least pressure there is.
There's no
but
pressure.
They can be really if you don't know what you're doing, it could be an insane amount of pressure.
But the no pressure part is because you don't have to worry about what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a show on a cruise ship and there's 400 kids with their parents, you're worrying about what you're saying. And the whole time you're just looking at their faces going, don't say fuck. That's pretty much all you got to say.
Right.
So, you know, and then you'll work like an old folk. I did an old folks home in Florida like a couple weeks ago. Just got to be versatile, man.
I could see why you were doing old folks home. They probably like you because you're loud.
That actually scared them.
Oh, really?
I had to tone it down because they were so, they're like, you're keeping me awake. You know, like it was, you know, I just got my Salisbury steak. Yeah. Yeah. So you learn it just with practice and you got to go where the money is, man. I've done a lot of, lately I've been doing this. I probably should have brought this up earlier because I'm sure you're going to want to talk about it. I've been doing a lot of lifestyle events. Do you know what that is?
The lifestyle would be the swingers.
Swingers and nudists. I'm like their man now, man. They call me forever. I perform nude now a bunch of times. Yeah. Because they get you there.
Sorry I missed it.
Well, I'm just telling you. Yeah.
Wait.
I got pictures.
That's so cool. That's cool. I hope you have some Snapchat filters on those suckers.
Actually, one of them, this guy's cheering with his arm up, and it just happens to be covering right there.
But you really?
That's being versatile, buddy.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
And then you do a church the next day.
That is people's nightmares. That is someone's nightmare. Standing in front of somebody doing public speaking fucking naked.
With literally nothing between you and the audience.
No.
Yeah.
And they're naked too.
Yeah.
But
I hope they throw the chairs out after that.
First time was not scary. The second time was more scary.
Uh-huh.
But the first time they told me the show started at 6 and so I get there at 5. They're like, yeah, it doesn't start till 8. So now I got 3 hours with these
people. And where are my pants?
Yeah. So they're just feeding me drinks. And I already told them I wasn't performing naked because here's a rule. Almost every state has it. Is if you're performing and you're getting paid and you're naked.
Keep the bottoms.
It's called erotic entertainment. It does not matter what you're performing. And they have to have a license for that.
Okay.
Well, they didn't have a license. This was in Massachusetts
where
I did the last one. And so I told them, I said, well, I can't be naked then. I got to. But you have to be naked to take the tour. So I'm naked for 3 hours with these people getting shit-faced. And then it comes time to do the show, and they're like, all right, you can get dressed. And I'm like, fucking start the music. And I just went right up. And
I'm so uncomfortable thinking about that.
It would have been weirder to get dressed. Like, because nobody's dressed. So, and they're not like, hey, nice dick, right? They're not saying any of that.
Assholes.
It's more like, hey. A
bunch of rude.
Hey, that really seems smaller than it should be for a man. No, it was, they were great. It was
super
fun.
Who's the funny bald lady?
But I'd walk, there was some sitting on the floor, and I walked and put my dick right in their face, and I'm like, you guys ready to start the show? And I'm just like, they were fun.
How many people?
About 200.
Wow, room must have smelled terrible.
There's a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Then they asked me back the following year, and they had this girl open, and it was like her, I don't know, fifth or sixth time.
Figuratively or literally?
She was the opening act.
Gotcha.
But she was also the daughter of these nudist people that like run the place. So she grew up in this nudist environment. So she's telling stories and crushing. And it's like her fourth, fifth time on stage. She is crushing with these goofy stories about stuff she had to deal with growing up living with nudists.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have ate more shit after her. I was like, wow, this is a humbling experience. And I'm trying to do stuff, and I'm trying to do newer stuff because I was just there a year ago. And they're very judgmental if you don't have new stuff. They're like, that whole first half we didn't know, but the second half we knew everything. And I was like, I can't write another full hour for you guys when I, you know.
You got no place to put your hand.
Who would have thought nudists were so picky?
Picky. But then I was like, kind of like I do an improv, so I start fucking with this one lady. She starts calling out my dick. Like, oh, you're all shriveled up. And I'll just, And I'm like, there's where your nightmare starts. Because you're like, oh my shit. Oh my God, I am naked.
You weren't allowed to do that.
That's exactly what I thought. That's what I wanted to say. I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't
one of the rules.
Aren't we supposed to be supportive? Like, what? You're ripping on me. Look at that. And I'm like, well, come over and rub it, bitch. It'll grow. We'll get it. I'm like, at this point, I start losing it, and I just start attacking.
So,
it's crazy.
I have so many questions here. Where do I start here? So, number one, were you like hanging out with the nudists, or they just call you up out of nowhere?
They saw me on a swingers cruise.
Okay.
Swingers nudist cruise.
Okay. So like a swingers nudist cruise.
When they tell you
it's a swingers cruise, you're like, all right, I'm in.
Don't even hesitate. Yeah. Say yes immediately.
No one's offered. Thanks for rubbing it in.
I'll tell you right now, say yes immediately. Don't worry about the money. It'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Take anything you do and try to turn it into something to do with the swingers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to do all these game playground, like for my family shows, I talk about playgrounds and how they suck now. And I talk about some of the old rides. I totally turned it into more like BDSM. I'm like, we're not going to have any BDSM people anymore because we're getting rid of this ride. And, you know, that was something that you'd tie up against. And it totally flowed well with it. So I just took old jokes and kind of rehashed them and made it, you know, for them. And they loved it, dude. Man, it was, after that, I booked like 4 more different cruises with different groups.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, after that story.
And you get to go do their wives, so it's great. I'm not even making this up.
Why don't you lead with that part?
People, guys will come up to you, and as soon as I see the guy coming, I'm like, I know what he's going to say. Because they're always just pawning their wife. My wife thought you were cute. If you want, you can go back with her. And I'm like, are you coming? And they're like, no, we play alone. It don't matter. Or some will be like, yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to watch. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well,
dude, it's amazing. Amazing.
So if you'd like to introduce yourself to Rob after the show.
Oh, my God.
Bring your wife.
You'd be surprised at how many there are.
No, I know there are. I know a comic who's kind of into it, and he's told me some stories. So it's like, I mean, I'm not a prude, but I'm not performing naked for anybody. I don't even perform naked for my wife.
I keep my
shirt on.
Yeah. No, it was one of those things, like, I always feel like I've never done it, so I'm doing it. Like, when I joined college, I'm like, I'm joining a fraternity because of Animal House.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm doing it. I don't care. And it ended up being, like, probably the best time of my life. It was so fun.
Sure. Like,
but being nude,
opening yourself up to new experiences is always good.
Right.
But when I say that is literally someone's nightmare, you do realize it's literally someone's nightmare.
It was my nightmare at first, but once it started, it wasn't a big deal.
Wow.
It was actually kind of fun because I kind of took control of it.
Right.
And made it like put it in their face. Literally. I literally was putting my dick in these girls' faces as they were sitting on the floor. And then, dude, they won them over, and it was like they were so appreciative after because they were like, I had dozens of them telling me this. It was like you appreciated what we do. And I was like, yeah, I do. And they're like, oh, man, that made us feel so good. And then they booked me back.
You
want to
feel good?
Yeah.
It just got really creepy real fast.
They're not as sexual as swingers are.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. I think nudists are just like.
All about comfortable. Being comfortable.
And I'm not comfortable naked, so there it is.
A lot of them shouldn't be, but.
Amen.
Yeah.
Two more shows. Comedy at the Carlson with Rob Little. His pants will be on.
I'm dressed up.
His pants will be on.
But, depends how many drinks I get.
Keep all those best buttons buttoned.
I know, right?
So we're going to be back next week after the holiday, but with April Macy, we're going to have news in a second. Rob Little, I am so perplexed and trying not to picture you naked while
Please
we're talking
don't.
During this. I'm not. I'm trying not to, but it's like it's such a weird thing to like. I start thinking about like.
I'm very shaven, if that helps.
Uh-huh. It doesn't.
Helps you.
I know.
No, that does not.
I've got a lot of motorcycle scars and stuff, so if that helps at all. Hey,
thanks,
can I mention
Rob.
Just a couple quick things real quick?
Of course, be my guest.
Okay, so I'm shooting a dry bar comedy special in March or April. I'm shooting a Netflix special. We're working on a Netflix sitcom, and I just wrote an animated movie that I'm in my 33rd rewrite or something for Pixar.
Wow.
So it's called Voles, Moles, and Rigmaroles. It's super adorable. And yeah, so they like it, which is great. But they keep giving me rewrites, and everybody's like, they must not like it. And I'm like, dude, when they give you rewrites,
they wouldn't put 33 shots. They wouldn't take 33 shots. 100%
correct. Like.
So, for this Netflix sitcom, do you need a fat best friend for that?
I have a drunk best friend in this one.
Oh, I got that one.
Who was kind of like the money backer of what I'm doing.
Oh. So that's how you get parts these days.
Yeah.
I thought it was hand jobs.
Buddy, you've been wasting your afternoons.
Ah, in this carpal tunnel.
It was crazy. The first episode I read, I was like, this guy actually, the director is the director of, I should always remember this, but I never saw him, Barbershop.
Oh,
Barbershop
okay.
1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And they're shooting this in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who's back in it is from Lionsgate's films,
mm-hmm.
but it's not Lionsgate. He wants his own side projects.
Okay.
So he's right now they're working on a movie. He greenlit.
Uh-huh.
And so we keep working on new episodes. And the big thing is they want Netflix to buy it, but Netflix won't buy it until they see it.
Right.
Well, we haven't shot it yet. And he's like kind of hemming and hawing about it because he goes, well, what if we film all this and they don't buy it?
I feel like Netflix
is buying everything.
They do. They absolutely do. But people need to look at Netflix for what it is. If you're trying to give content to them, they're just a content. They do create some content, but it's like real high market value stuff, like the Marvel properties and stuff like that they'll produce. And they'll produce movies with big stars attached to them. They're not doing the sitcoms. They're not doing that. That's all. Most of it's independently produced.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You bring it all to them and it's already
exactly.
done. Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Awesome.
But they still got to buy it.
I'll throw in $40 to play the neighbor.
I don't know if that's enough. He did. It's funny, though, because I've never been in one of these meetings before. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been on a bunch of shows, but I've never been in something from ground floor.
Sure.
So they're like, he starts talking about the budget. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, I can't believe we're even talking about this. I didn't think I'd be involved in this.
Yeah.
And they even asked me, like, who I want to play some of the things. I'm like, I get to pick? And they're like, yeah, well, you got to work with them. So I'm like, holy cow. So
you're a producer in this?
I'm going to be, yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to be producer, writer, and main star. So
I'm happy for you.
Hopefully. I mean, I don't get too excited about any of this stuff anymore because I've had huge things totally fall for already. Sure. Like, I was picked to be a new cast member in 2008. Whatever year Sarah Palin came out.
Okay. SNL?
Yep.
Okay.
They picked me. It was me and four other dudes, and we were going. And Sarah Palin came out, and then nobody left. Like, Tina Fey, Chris Parnell, Maya Rudolph, and Amy Poehler were all supposed to leave that year.
Wow.
But they didn't because of that stuff. And that was, like, their best years ever when Tina played.
I thought Sarah Palin did. Oh, Tina Fey did leave and then came back and was playing Sarah Palin.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And all of them were supposed to go. And then that's where we were supposed to come in.
And God damn glory hogs.
I know it. And then they go, don't worry, we'll look at you again next year. Well, those women were so damn funny, they only wanted new women. So that was the year Jenny Slater said, fuck, in the very first episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and she just froze right up instead of just acting like she didn't say it. You know, that's what I would have did.
Yeah.
But that was a horrible sketch. The sketch was all she had to keep saying, funk. I fucking love you. Fucking. And she just slipped and said, I fucking love you. And they went, and then Kristen Wiig, like, act like nothing happened and got her out of it. And then they fired her, like, a couple episodes later. But I went and fired everybody after that. I was like, I was picked. How are you not getting me back in there? And they just.
That's heartbreaking.
Dude, I bawled my ass off. I can't even tell you. I had 3 callbacks, and I never even had to go in to meet Lauren. It was all in L.A., and he saw all my stuff. And then I think the one character, because this was the political year.
Uh-huh.
So I was, they're like, do you got any political characters? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't have anything.
Right.
I was on Best Damn Sports Show, period, for 7 years. So I had all these, like, sports guys I did, but not anything political. So that year was the same year Fidel Castro was stepping down.
Right.
And they had no idea who was going to take over. So I said his nephew, Sar Castro,
uh-huh,
was going to take over. So I was it's crazy because this was before Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog.
Right.
I was basically doing that same character. I was like, I'd be like, oh, you better put that away. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, or I'll kill you. And they're like, what? And I goes, I'm kidding. I'm Sarcastro. I wouldn't kill you. But watch your back. I'll probably kill you. You know, that, like it was all that kind of stuff.
This guy will kill you for me.
It was basically.
So literally, Jeff Dunham's puppet. That one no, puppet, wasn't Jeff Dunham. I will kill you. And then that mixed with the dog.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow, those. Wow.
Very, very Insult Comic Dog. And then the.
And Schmeigel's their boy over there, too.
Yes.
Schmeigel's their boy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, I'm not saying he. There's no way. I mean, he definitely come up with that on his own. But I mean, I was doing it.
Wow.
I don't know if he saw it or not. But
do you think Lauren was like, "Come look at this"?
Yeah. What can you do with
it? You see this puppet you have here?
Man, I was having so many vivid dreams of being there and writing and like, you know, it was just I was so freaking. I'm like, my life's changing, and then it never happened. And then the year after that, I shot a Budweiser commercial for. The Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I was like, this is, here it is. Now we're getting somewhere, right? I thought that was going to be great.
You know, you don't want to be the guy, you don't want to be the Budweiser guy either, really. Maybe you do.
Bullshit. Ask John Reap if he minds being the Hemi guy. I think it's okay. It gets you up there.
I'm going to shut up.
You're right.
You know what? It's a form of fame.
No argument.
And it really propels some people.
I just, you know, here's the thing. I work in a club here where I see every act coming through, whether they're coming through the small room or the big room. And some of the credits that people put out for stuff, right. I go, my eyes kind of roll in the back of my head.
Right.
And I just, in my mind, go, oh, the Budweiser guy. And that's right. Where my negative attitude came from. I get
it. But if it was a real comic.
You're right.
Instead of like a comedic actor. So I get it. Yours, too. If it's just some douchebag that got it and now he's out doing the road and he doesn't know act.
Yeah.
But if it was a real comic,
like,
it'd
like
be cool.
It'd be like if Budweiser hired Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That one felt hurtful. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You should have heard the one earlier. I actually had to apologize for before you got here.
But
you
know, Daniel Tosh did a Taco Bell commercial.
I really paid attention.
And that kind of helped him.
Yeah.
When he did the Taco Bell commercial. And he's a great comic. So, awesome. But yeah, so I did this Budweiser one. It was called Can a Monkey Do Your Job? And it was like, I would start out being like a mechanic, and by the end, he's the mechanic, and I'm swinging from the tires in a diaper and stuff. they were really fun and funny, and I was like, these are on. So every commercial, I'm like, here it comes. And I'm telling everybody, I'm posting, I'm like, here it comes. And it never came. And it was that year, I didn't know, like, Budweiser is one of the companies, but they'll shoot us several campaigns and then go test them.
Interesting.
Well, this was a big political year, big patriotic year, and so that was the year that the Clydesdales were playing football. Do you guys remember those commercials?
I do remember those ones.
That was that year.
And that's what worked, huh?
Yep. Bummer. So I try not to get too excited about any of this stuff. I'm also working on a history comedy show with Regis Philbin. I wish I could get excited about it, but we've already shot a bunch of the episodes. But there's seven networks bidding on it, and they all want it shot a little differently for their... So they won't buy it until it's that way. But Regis's company is basically run by these two other guys. And they're like, don't go waste your money. One of them will buy it. But nobody has.
How long ago did you make it?
It's been over a year now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, nobody's going to buy it. Let's go pay. And but it's really expensive to change it.
So here's what we've learned today, ladies and gentlemen. We've learned a couple of things. If you're going to try to do stand-up comedy... Be loose. Try to loosen up a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've learned that versatility is very important.
Yes.
We've learned that people do stand-up comedy naked. And we also learned that one of these days, Rob Little's going to get a big break.
Oh, man. I hope. Thank you for saying that, man. I hope so. That would be awesome.
Listen, man. I think, and I've talked to people like, you know, who've done movies and stuff like that, and I think... If you love the art form of comedy, being successful and good at that, you've already won.
Yeah.
You've already won.
It's funny you bring that up. In my senior Will, we got to like make predictions about where we were going to be in life.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going to go get my computer degree, and then I'm going to be the best comedian I can be. And that's exactly what I did, not knowing that that ever would happen.
We also learned that Rob hasn't grown up much since high school.
But he's very Space Ranger. Goal-oriented. Yeah.
You could join Space Force. Yeah. Please join Space Force.
I don't know what that is.
That's Trump's Space Force. Oh. He announced it like a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a real thing.
I don't really pay a lot of attention.
Well.
But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Me neither. I guess we're going to have to leave it here because we got to get out this afternoon.
All right.
But Rob,
this was fun, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I love talking shop like this.
So do I, very much.
Yeah, and everybody's probably a little different, so which is nice.
It's a really cool mix for me because, like, you know, like you see who's coming through, and I've seen a lot of people, and I've been doing comedy for longer than I care to admit.
Yeah.
But getting to talk to people about the business and learning about, you know, their styles and how they write and how they came up, I think it's a wonderful tool. And a lot of our audience is young comics.
Yeah.
They really like, you know, learning about the business, learning about stuff. So that's what we try to focus on here. And we also try to give people who are going to come to the shows here an opportunity to get to know the comic they're going to see. And,
yeah.
But I like to do it better than radio because I don't like the way radio does it.
No.
I hate it.
So tell us about yourself.
No.
So you did no prep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But speaking of radio,
yeah,
I have to go stick my head into Brother Weeze's City Grill thing today.
Oh, okay.
So I gotta bolt
out. He's in
here.
A great mood.
So oh, I hear there's shots already.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing them with him.
Yeah.
That's why we had such a good show. Yeah. Rob Little, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be here for two more shows, and I'm sure you're going to be back in the club if they let you off
God,
one of those
I
cruises.
Hope so. I feel like he's just – that's another thing that comics need to worry about nowadays. If you don't have something huge online or get on one of these stupid talking head shows where you're commenting on a dumb video, you're going to – You're going to be begging for work in these really nice clubs. Like, I used to play them all. And this year, I got no love, man. I got no love. It's really bummed me out.
Can I ask you this? And
yeah.
This is not...
I get it.
Maybe a loaded question, but... Because we do got to get out of here. But I'm just saying this. Would you find that most clubs tend to be booking right now a lot of the folks that are coming off of America's Got Talent?
100%.
That's the biggest show in the country, right?
Well, I mean, it's helping a lot of people. I mean,
but like I'm saying, like in terms of what comics are or what people are booking off of,
yeah, like
it's got to be the biggest show in the country, I think.
Like Preacher Lawson was the MC in Orlando right before he got on that show for me, and now he's headlining everywhere.
Yeah,
and you're like, what?
You know? Maybe he'll take you around with him if you call him.
Yeah, I already asked him that. I already told him. I said, now I got to open for you, you son of a bitch.
All right.
Anyways.
Well, Rob
thank
Little,
you
your
having
man.
Me.
We'll see
thank
you for the next one, and we'll see you at the shows tonight.
Cool.
Folks, we're
are you guys coming tonight, or is that all talk?
I'm going to be here tonight.
Here's the thing. I was here for a little bit last night. I didn't get to stay for the whole show. I'm getting in a car. I'm taking these guys to lunch, stopping by the Wheeze thing, going back to my house, and going to bed, and waking up at 1 in the morning and driving to Alabama. So, Merry Christmas, y'all.
So you're not coming to the show?
No, I'm not coming to the show.
It's a really long way to say no.
No, right? I'm not coming to
and
your show.
And then I heard you're going to lunch.
I'd rather go to Alabama.
No invite?
You're invited. No, you're absolutely, 100% invited.
Okay.
Mark's invited, too.
Okay.
He's not invited. You're invited.
Okay.
We'll be right back with the news with Ross. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right. We are back. It is time for us to do a little segment around here we like to call stand-up news. And if you enjoy stand-up news and you want to know what's going on in the world of stand-up and you don't mind nervous giggling, Ross Johnson's your man.
Yeah, and don't know how Google works.
And if you don't,
don't know how to look things up if you don't have the internet.
What's a Googles?
What is that?
All right.
Hey,
Ross.
Well, I'm going to start. So there's some good news and some bad news this week, you know, like normal. I don't have any Cat Williams updates, unfortunately.
God damn it.
Boo. Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the sad. The comedy world and the rest of the world said goodbye to Penny Marshall this week.
Yeah, that
was I was a fan of Penny Marshall.
Everybody was a fan of Penny
there
Marshall.
There was something about her that was just genuine.
Did Did you find her sexy?
Not as hot as Lunel.
Sure. That's fair.
Lunel's my girl.
Conversations, inside jokes.
No. I don't know. I'm trying
Young
to
Penny that. Marshall, maybe?
The Laverne and Shirley song is one that just randomly sticks in my head, and I
you
don't
think,
know why.
You think Laverne and Shirley ever took a guy home from the bar together?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I assumed that was the subtext of that whole thing.
Laverne brought her home, and Shirley just reluctantly joined in.
Okay.
I think that's
okay.
how that. I think
but
that's
it was reluctant every
down.
Time to the point where it got to be
yeah.
like, okay, really?
Yeah. 70s.
Really, Cindy Williams?
Well, R.I.P. Penny Marshall. Great director.
Great director. Yeah. And so before we move on, my favorite, my absolute favorite memorial R.I.P. response to her passing comes from the great Jennifer Lewis.
Oh, really?
She says, Penny Marshall directed me in The Preacher's Wife and The Renaissance Man, and I never understood a fucking word she said. Rest in peace, Penny.
That's nice. That's actually
pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
Because it's
yeah,
it's
like,
sort of true.
It very, was it Long Island accent kind of accent?
I don't even know. Is that even
a
yeah.
Long
Island
kind of that?
Yeah. Long Island and camels.
But that's none of the rest of her family.
Or what's her, brother
like
does, yeah. Gary?
I guess. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I'll give it to
why don't you learn about accents before you come and do the news?
Try it.
We're mourning. You're mourning, so we'll let it go.
I'm a little upset right now. Howie Mandel. Do we like Howie Mandel?
What's
die?
Not to
he's
like?
He did not die. Oh. He's he's been doing stand-up, but he's getting in on some of that sweet stand-up special money. So
he's
gonna,
doing a stand-up special?
He's doing a stand-up special. He's going to do an hour for Showtime. This is the first one he's done in, I think, 20 years. So this is the first one he's done. This is the first special he's done in 20 years, so he's going to do a special for it's going to premiere on January 18th on Showtime.
That blows my mind. Like, not saying he can't do it, because I think once you know how to write for yourself, you know how to write for yourself, but he's probably had to have been working on this for a while, because you don't just sign a deal
right.
to do a special. Like, he's had to have something in the works. I know he just got Deal or No Deal back.
Yeah,
he tours quite a bit.
Deal. The no meet deal. And greet will be at a distance.
Oh, that's right, because yeah. he doesn't like touching people.
Yeah,
right?
No, yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah. My pal Chris hypnotized him on America's Got Talent, made him touch people. That was fun.
Wow.
He got really mad about it after, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Chris told me, he was like, he got really mad about it after they did it.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, what did I do? Like, he saw the video and flipped out.
That'd be like if someone hypnotized you, made you eat a salad.
Don't joke, Brian. There's some things we don't joke about.
Why did that Christmas. Not land? Why did that joke not land?
Because it came out of your mouth.
That
keep going,
great.
Ross.
That was a great joke.
Okay, so in other upcoming comedy news, this is for January, so we're looking into 2019 already. Beginning of January, Netflix special Comedians of the World is filming now. So this is I just thought this was a neat premise. So they're doing 47 comedians from 13 different regions of the world, including Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Mumbai, Berlin, Amsterdam. They're going to film a bunch at Just for Laughs in Montreal. They're doing basically a series of half-hour episodes, all part of the same series, part of the same show, of people from comedians from all over the world. So
interesting.
Some names that you've, you know, maybe
I'm
not
put on
interested
an accent
to hear.
And apply for that.
I think.
Yeah, because the accent will finally make people understand your jokes. That'll be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, that's good.
Yeah.
So yeah, there weren't a lot of, I didn't recognize a lot of the names in the list, but I think that's part of the point. So that sounds fun.
You know what? The more I think about what Netflix is doing, the more I like it. You know, I was a little weirded out by some of the specials that they chose this past year. Some of them were a little intense and not necessarily of the traditional stand-up template, but they're patrons of the art.
Talking about Hannah Gadsby?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Gadsby?
Yeah. A little bit, but there was another one that I saw, and I forget the gentleman's name, and it wasn't bad, but there's lots of different styles of comedy, and there's nothing wrong with any of them, in my opinion, and I think that it's nice that on Netflix is actually being a true patron and getting a lot of unique things to show. So of all the companies that produce specials, I'm impressed with Netflix because they do go out on a limb that way. And I know they need buckets of content every minute, but HBO Showtime, I don't think would take the risks that Netflix does. So good on them.
Do you feel like they're, I think that's definitely true what you said. I think they're definitely putting on stuff that is, again, you know, not everything's for everybody's tastes, and it's good that there's variety. Do you feel like they're putting on stuff? Do you feel like some of it is they're putting on just to put on? Or do you feel like it's all truly like, oh,
okay,
let's
if you've ever spent
to put it on.
Yeah, of course. If you spent 5 minutes trying to find something to watch on Netflix, you realize pretty quickly when you're looking at like the Australian cartoons and all sorts of words. A lot of it is, you know, meant to court an audience worldwide, which is great. But a lot of it is when you realize you have a streaming service that many millions of people are using, you got to keep it fresh, baby. Right. And who knows?
Something for everybody.
And they keep their numbers secret too. So like I would be fascinated to look at like their download numbers on certain shows just to see. I mean,
let's say because you have no idea, especially the one-off things. You have no idea, you know, things that go on. You can say, oh, it gets canceled or it comes back.
Well, but
the
true,
one-off things, you have no idea.
The true, you know, merit of whether it's a one-off or not is, you know, how well did it do? And so if you see a second one,
right,
and you have a pretty good,
pretty
good feeling there. Let's keep going. What else you got, Ross?
Okay, so gonna wrap up with the highest paid comedians of 2018. This is according to Forbes magazine.
Well, are you telling me these guys can afford to pay full price for a pop figure?
I'm telling you,
they're rolling
that,
in it.
You can make
they're
friends.
Rolling
with,
in it.
I'm telling you, you want to make better friends, and one of these people might be your guy. Any guesses?
Most the highest paid comedian?
Yeah, let's say number one or anywhere. I'll give you anywhere on the list.
I could probably throw three out there that I know I'll nail. Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Seinfeld.
No on Chappelle, surprisingly.
Chappelle didn't make that list.
No. Seinfeld and Kevin Hart were number one and number two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's number three?
Number three. Oh, sorry. I read this totally wrong. Dave Chappelle is number three.
Oh, so I named the top three in a row?
The top three in a row.
I guess I'm the idiot.
How much did Seinfeld make?
I was like,
I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
I was like, you said to Chappelle, and I was like, yeah, Chappelle's on the list, and then I looked at the list and Dave Chappelle was not on the list, clearly, for several seconds.
Oh, but then magically he was.
Magically.
Okay.
Appeared.
That's magic paper.
Brian, you wanna throw out anybody else?
I'd be so good on the food.
There are a couple of
If only I had a family that loved me.
There are a couple of surprises. There are a couple of names that surprised me.
This is the top 15.
This is the top 10.
Kevin Hart. Oh, did we say him yet?
We said Kevin Hart. Yeah. It's not just me.
I don't know.
We're both elderly.
Are these like pure stand-ups? Or are we counting like movies and TV kind of things on some of these lower ones? I mean, it's top earning, I get. So
yeah. So this is.
Did Zach Galifianakis make it?
No, I doubt
it. Zach Galifianakis did not. This is the criteria for this were these were primarily the criteria were a little weird, but they're comedians. They're primarily comedians.
Brian Regan.
But they do factor in, like, if you're a movie star that does comedies, you're not going to be on the list. But if you're a stand-up that does movies, that money's going to get factored.
Okay. I'll throw some guesses out there. Okay. I got some.
And then I'll just read them to you.
There's one that popped in my head. Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan. Yep, he's number seven.
Gaffigan,
eight,
seven?
Number eight.
Okay.
Sorry.
He got 60 of my dollars this
year. He got $17.5 million.
I'm trying to think guys who tour and do big rooms. Iglesias.
Is Regan on there?
Gabriel Iglesias?
Gabriel Iglesias is on there. He's number six.
Okay.
Yep.
No Brian Regan, you have not answered me.
No Brian Regan.
Wow, really?
Although I'm being very careful when I say no.
See, this is going on too long, but if I had to throw another one out there. Gervais?
Ricky Gervais, yeah. Actually, Ricky Gervais is new to the list this year at number five. He made $25 million.
That's a hell of a bump to go up to number five when you weren't on it the year before.
Absolutely. So Chris Rock was number four.
Terry Fatore
was number seven.
Who?
Terry Fatore.
Didn't even cross my mind. Yep. Good for
that him. Was one of the, that was a surprise to me. Jim Gaffigan, Jeff Dunham, and then Sebastian Maniscalco.
Did you just say Dunham?
Yeah.
Still?
Do you remember everything I was saying about taste earlier? Everybody.
Oh yeah.
I guess. Ugh.
So Jerry
Seinfeld. How is that guy? He makes me mad.
Jerry Seinfeld and Kevin Hart though were way above, you know, they were both at around $57 million. The next one down was 35. And
was Chappelle was 35?
Chappelle was 35. So big, good to be Seinfeld.
How much was Seinfeld?
$57.5 million.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Wow. Women, no women on the list.
He just sold $20 million worth of Porsches earlier this year too.
What's 70% of $57 million? It's a terrible joke. Nothing.
So that's the highest paid comedians of 2018. Better luck next time,
ladies. Brian, I don't know. That's terrible.
Yeah, we'll make it next year.
Yeah, Amy Schumer was on.
I was going to say Schumer
fell off the list this year.
Oh, Gervais knocked her out. Knocked her off.
Well, okay. And she's more an actress now than a stand-up.
Yeah. And that, and some of that's that too. But yeah, the fact that there's not a single woman on there is a little weird.
Either way, thank you for watching this week's episode or listening to this week's episode. We really, really appreciate it. Those of you who are listening, you're the best. We appreciate you. Those of you who are watching, we love you even more. Do us a favor, please. Help us out. It's the holidays. Would you leave us a review? Say something nice about the show if you enjoy it. We'd really appreciate it. 5 stars. Don't be a dick. 5 stars. And have a great, great holiday. We'll see you next week with April Macy. Later, Marks.
Happy holidays and all that.